Hello, everyone. Am I muted? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. Let's see. Looks like Jocelyn may have just come in. Jocelyn, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
All right.
Sorry about that. It was a busy morning. No music.
I know. Where's our music? We need our music. Who wants to sing this morning? Come on. Let's go. Reignite. Happy, what day is it? Tuesday? Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday. My God. Where does it go? Type in the chat. How's everybody doing on a scale of 1 to 10? How all in are you? I know our last office hours, we talked about being all in. So how's everybody doing? Today is all about tuning up our vibrations. We got to really get into our vibe. Hello, namaste from India. All right. Good, good, good. I think we're still like waiting for our fearless leader.
We really need that music.
I know. Where is it?
Here, I can.
I would sing, but you all would be like, okay, I'm so out. I'm never coming back again. It's bad. My dad used to say in church, don't sing. Talk about a limiting belief. Have to tap maybe on that one.
Maybe Jack will want to sing for us now that he's on.
Jack, get your guitar. Gotta tune up that vibe. Go grab your guitar. We want you to tune up that vibe.
I have to tune up the guitar first.
All right, we're just waiting a few minutes. How are you this morning, Mr. Camfield? What's new?
I'm good. What's new? I just did a full day of interviews yesterday in LA. First time I've been out of my house since March 16th. I've been out in the car 5 times. This was the 6th one where I went to LA, and it was weird. It was like going to another planet. First time I've been out and everything, worrying about, you know, coronavirus and washing my hands constantly and social distancing. But I interviewed 11 people for a show called Hollywood Live, all great people with books and programs. And then on the way home, I went to a grocery store for the first time. And I felt like I'd got out of prison. And I bought 4 things my wife doesn't want me to eat. It was really good.
I talked to him on the way home. He was like a kid in a candy store. He's like, and I went and I got stuff I'm not supposed to have. It's like, wow.
Not a lot of it. Just one jar of jelly.
Did it make it home or did you eat it all?
No. It's in the pantry. It's hiding as if it was already there. Anyway, no.
I felt
liberated that I could actually be in the world and out with people and walking down aisles and seeing new products, and it was fun. So that was a step out for me. I've been in front of this computer talking to people like you all for almost 7 months now.
Well, it's definitely interesting. I mean, because it's funny because today we're talking about our vibration, and I haven't really heard you that excited in quite some time. So it's like, I have to let you out more often. I tease with Jack. My boys bought these huge, Iraqi gas masks. You know, I'm like, I'll just give you one of those and walk you around. Like, watch your step. It's so hard to see everything. My new pet.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're still letting some people in. So today, let's see here. I want to mention something.
Patty, will you make me the host really quick so I can share slides and everything?
No. I have no idea how to do that. Where do I do that again? I go down to participants and make you the host?
Yeah.
And then I have to find you, Team Camfield.
I'm the other Team Canfield. Just click on my picture and then click on those 3 dots.
You're a genius. All right. Okay, do we have everybody here? Well, let's get started. Welcome to meeting 6. So I can't believe, isn't it amazing too how the time has gone by so quickly? I don't know about the rest of you, but I feel like this group has been so engaged and having so much fun that it's just whizzing by. I don't want it to end. So welcome to today's call. And Jocelyn, do you want to start with some housekeeping items before I go into a few things I want to talk about?
Yes. Let me pull it up really quick. Can you see my screen?
Yukiko says, is it cold there? Yukiko, it is cold in my house. I had my air conditioning on way too high, so it's off now, but I'm still wearing a jacket until I warm up. Thanks for asking.
All right. So housekeeping items. We're still in the Take Massive Action Challenge, and we're on day 23. So look for that as soon as we get off this call. And then next week, Patty has office hours on September 30th. So we actually have two things next week on the 30th. One is our guest expert call with Lisa Nichols in the morning at 10 a.m. And then we also have the office hours with Patty in the afternoon from 2 to 3 Pacific Standard Time. One thing that I wanted to make sure you guys are aware of for the call next week is we are gonna actually be sending you a new Zoom link because we have the calendar double booked on one account. So we will send that out in today's follow-up email. We'll also send it out a few more times and we'll be posting it in the group. But just wanted to make sure that you are all aware of that. And if you know anyone that is not on this call or you know, doesn't see the emails, just make sure to share that with anyone that you happen to be in contact with. So same time and everything, but just as a different Zoom link. And
definitely a call that none of you want to miss. So if you would all just make sure you remind your accountability partners, everybody else in the group as well, that they just really don't want to miss the Lisa Nichols call. It's going to be one of the best calls you will have during this 4-month session. And so it's something that you just don't want to miss. So try to make it a priority if you can.
Yes. I will say that from all the, we've had her on permission granted calls and she's amazing. So definitely get on that one.
Great.
Right.
All right. So we have two calls that day, just so you know. So if you have to choose me or Lisa, choose Lisa. I will not get my feelings hurt. E plus R equals O. I can intentionally choose the way I want to respond, which is I'm so glad they did this, Lisa. So don't feel like you have to make both if you can't, if you have to choose one. I also just wanted to mention that we had a ton of questions from this group specifically about the mastermind groups that Jack and I are doing. And those are groups of 8. And so it's a very small group of people. I know that we have one full as of right now. We're working on a few more. So if you're interested in that, let us know. It's over a 6-month period. We have 2 calls. We have an expert. Jack, do we have an expert call on that one? I'm not sure, actually. Do you remember? He's on mute. So basically the way when you've seen Jack and I process different people on these calls, that's really what the mastermind groups are about. You really come to those groups with what's happening in your life. We look at your goals. The first meeting that we do is a 3-hour meeting to get you really, really clear about what's happening. And then we hold you accountable throughout that 6 months. And you have a lot of access to me. I'm pretty much 24/7 access, as some of you already know. But especially for those high-end mastermind groups. And so if you're interested, if you're an author, you're a speaker, you're a coach, you're building your business, if you're in transition, all good places to come together and be part of a bigger mastermind group. We've always had our own mastermind groups together. We've participated in other mastermind groups for the last 30 years, and we have found it to be one of the defining differences for us, especially when we're building something new. We're building chicken. We're always in mastermind groups. We're always hiring coaches. We are even hiring therapists at some points just to keep us on track. And there's a couple of questions that actually came in today that we'll probably address during this call about those different things. How do I stay focused when things start to fall apart? And really the power of the group, the power of really good mentorship is what is the differentiation for those who actually get there further faster with less effort. So I want to make sure you know that. Also, there is a discount. If you're in this group, you get $1,000 off. If you're not in this group, you don't. So if you're considering it, great, but it's not something that we're spreading out to the rest of the world. So I want you to know that. And you can go to jackcanfield.com/mastermind to get all the information, everything that it includes, all the dates, it's all there. And also if you have any questions at the end of today's session, as we always do a Q&A, feel free to stay on the call and ask us about that as well. We will be here as long as you need us to be here. Is there anything you want to add to that, Mr. Field?
No, I think it's a great opportunity for people to do some of the deepest work we do, some of the greatest support work in a small group of 8 people. And so you really get to be the focus every time we meet, and also extra calls and all the kind of stuff that we do. Really, because of the intensity and because of your commitment, we really go full out to support you in getting the goal that you want to achieve. So it's really, I'd say it's the most powerful work we do.
All right. So with that said, we're turning it over to you, Jack.
Good, I'm just gonna drink a glass, hold on, a sip of water. All of a sudden my throat was dry. Okay, so today is a great day. I'm going to just have everyone start by just taking a few deep breaths. There's this thing we've been teaching you called box breathing, where you breathe in for the count of 6, hold your breath for the count of 6, exhale for the count of 6, and then to hold out for 6, and then inhale for 6, etc. So if everyone can just do, we'll do that for about 40 seconds just to get centered really quickly. Do one more round of that. Very good. So just remind everyone that breathing is one of the ways you can very quickly tap into your subconscious mind, your autonomic nervous system, which normally is breathing you. We take control of that. All of a sudden, after a few breaths, we can start relaxing ourselves. And today, wherever you are, anytime before a meeting, while you're at the traffic light, waiting for the light to turn green, waiting in the doctor's office, you've just had a challenging conversation with one of your children or your spouse or a friend, it's a way to get yourself back into a centered space. We work a lot better when we're in that relaxed space. It brings our energy up into the front of our brain, which is where creativity and rational thinking and spiritual ideas come from. All right, so today, talking about tuning up your vibration. Why is that important? Tuning up your vibration. Everything in the universe exists in a state of vibration. Everything is energy and it's vibrating. So the colors of your shirts, like I'm wearing a black shirt, it's a very low vibration, it's absorbing most of the colors, whereas someone wearing a white shirt, it's reflecting all of the colors, pink, green, red, all these are different vibratory rates. My voice, Patty's voice, someone else's voice, they're all different because they're vibrating at a different frequency. And so what we know is when you are at a very high frequency, we feel high. you know, or we feel down, depressed, we're low frequency. And so emotions like love and joy and happiness are a higher frequency, depression, sadness, anger, so forth, at a lower frequency. So one of our goals in order to achieve success is to be vibrating at a high frequency, because then we attract things into our life that are vibrating at that same high frequency. And so the key is, today we want to show you some ways and actually have you experience a few ways to raise your vibration. And so we're going to jump into that. If we can go to the next slide, Jocelyn. So I want us to do a couple of cartoons here just for laughing, because humor says if 2020 was a slide. So we've all experienced that this year. The next cartoon. I love this. This is the new t-shirts that are now being sold. So you don't know who is wearing a mask anymore. So now we have these t-shirts called, "It's me, Doug."
That would be a really good one for the airport, you know, because when I walk to the airport, they're like, "Could you take your mask down?" Exactly. I'm just going to wear a shirt like that. Be like,
next slide. It says, if 2020 was a math problem, if you're going down a river at 2 miles an hour and your canoe loses a wheel, how much pancake mix would you need to reshingle your roof? That's pretty much where we are right now. Nothing makes any sense. Next slide. So this is Sarah Blakely. Most of you probably know who she is. She's the first female billionaire, self-made, no corporate investment, didn't inherit from her father like the Waltons. And so she says, mindset is the single most important thing you have as an entrepreneur. Make sure you work on it daily. Mindset. So your vibration is a result of your mindset. If you're in a positive space, thinking positive thoughts, if you're thinking negative thoughts, you're bringing your vibration down. I was with Les Brown on a summit recently where he was talking, and I'd heard about this, but he reminded me that when you think a negative thought, it lowers your vibration by about 10 megahertz. When you think a positive thought, it raises your vibration between 10 and 12 megahertz. And the weird thing is, it takes a few seconds longer for the positive vibration to raise your, the positive thought to raise your vibration, the negative thought actually acts faster. We also know that it's much easier to go toward negativity than it is toward positivity. And we know that the brain, basically your amygdala, which is storing all of your, in the hippocampus, which is storing all of your memories, tends to, when we have a negative event, usually the negativity is very strong. Your cat got run over by a car. Your child fell out of a tree and broke their arm. You lost your job. Your best friend died. You just found out that your sister got cancer. These are very intense emotional experiences for most people, and they lock in. Most of you can remember where you were on 9/11. Basically, you know, I remember the pajamas I was wearing, what I heard when I first woke up. Our staff came into my house because we have our offices on the same property, and I was in my pajamas till about 1 o'clock, and we were just all talking, looking at the TV. And I remember what my son said to me that day. So these, it locks in. So we have to work really strongly with great intention to lock in these positive intentions, positive feelings, positive emotions, to emotionalize our goals, which we've talked about through visualization, affirmation, and feeling the feelings. So it takes intention and repetition to do that. And we're going to share with you some experiences today that will help you do that. So if we can go to the next slide. So there is a science of the mind. There's even a Science of Mind magazine. You see the Dalai Lama, Bhanu, and myself on the cover there, and different issues of the magazine. But the point I want to make is, this is not guesswork. This is not woo-woo. There is really a science of how to keep your vibration high so that you are healthier, so that you're happier, and that you're also attracting more of what you want into your life. Next slide, please. So a couple practices that I want to suggest to you. Some of you are already doing these. Some of you may know about them, but ask yourself, are you doing them? Number one is to keep a gratitude journal. Every day, some people do it in the morning when they first wake up to set the tone of the day. And then some people do it at the end of the day to capture what they were grateful for that day. It puts them in a high place before they go to sleep at night. Another one is to carry a gratitude reminder. A gratitude reminder could be a gratitude rock, like you saw in the movie The Secret. So it's a little tiny stone. You carry it in your pocket or your purse so that every time you go in there, it reminds you to take a moment and just notice and be grateful for something in that second, in that moment. I used to carry mine in my wallet with my pocket with my money. However, yesterday was the first time I actually had any money in my pocket for about 5 months because it was the first time I was out of my house. And so you may want to have something else. Like I know one of my friends, when he's in the shower, he focuses on what he's grateful for. So you might have a 3x5 card that you tape to your shower door that says, remember to be grateful. Another friend of mine, as he's walking to the shower, says, I'm so grateful for every footstep. He thinks of something he's grateful for, something he's grateful for, something he's grateful for as he goes from the bed to the shower. Sending letters of appreciation, acknowledging people. I remember John Wooden, the coach of the Los Angeles, the UCLA basketball team. And John was someone who was just a phenomenal coach. And he probably had 11 of his athletes go on to be NBA superstars. And one of my students, when I taught this letters of appreciation, who had been cut from the basketball team, wrote him and said, I really want to thank you for what I learned from you, you know, during my time with you. And he wrote back, this is the first letter of appreciation I've ever got from anybody in my entire coaching career. Thank you very much. So literally, people are out there hungry for appreciation. And so when you give appreciation, it's very helpful. Taking a gratitude walk. In other words, you can start your morning by walking around your apartment, your house, or going out in nature is even better, and just appreciating the trees, the birds, the fact that you have carpeting on your floor, or you know, even wood floors, tile floors, whatever it might be. I was in India the month of February, and there are thousands of homes that have dirt floors because that's all people can afford. And I remember coming back from India the first time and saying to my wife, if I ever complain about a stain on the carpet again, shoot me. We have carpet. You know, so it's like be focusing on just each thing you see, focus on gratitude for it. Next slide, please. Prayers of thanks. Master Eckhart, a famous mystic in German, once said, if the only prayer you ever said was thank you, that would be enough. So saying grace before meal, being appreciative, closing your eyes and saying, you know, we give thanks to all the people who help prepare this food, all the animals and plants that have given their life for this, all the preparers, you know, and thanking God for the abundance and so forth and so on. Rituals that have been around for ages, but most of us in this modern world forget to do them. But it, again, it puts us in a very high vibration. There's something called a rampage of appreciation, which we're going to do in a few minutes I'll explain that when we get there. It's basically a rampage, just like any, if you want a rampage of anger, you know, you see people in the streets burning down buildings and police cars and throwing rocks through windows because they're just on a rampage of anger, a rampage of upset. So we're going to go on a rampage of appreciation in just a minute. I'll do an exercise with you. So next slide, please. So talked about practicing uncommon appreciation with thank you notes. So I would encourage you, I had a 3x5 card and I put down 5 squares. And every time I appreciated someone during the day, I would check it off. And I never go to bed without checking off all 5 squares to get into the habit of acknowledging and appreciating people. And so if I got to bed and I pulled that card out of my pocket and realized it was a square that wasn't checked, if it was late, I'd send a text or an email appreciating somebody for something. You'd be surprised how much better it makes you feel and how much better it makes them feel. Next slide, please.
Jack, you know, one of the things that this morning, actually, I talked to Janessa, who's Jocelyn's little sister, and she works with me and dates my son, as most of you know. And I said, how's it going? She said, I just finished writing my gratitude journal. She doesn't even get out of bed until she does it. So it's like part of her daily ritual, Monday through Friday. Yeah. I mean, I think so much of what you're talking about today, even when you just started doing the breathing thing, just, you know, in the very beginning, it's like, I immediately thought, why don't I do this every day? Yeah. And so a lot of what we're talking about is we know this stuff, right? But we just don't keep it top of mind. So as we go through this whole next couple weeks, it would be really cool to just put a sign on your bathroom mirror or do something that says, you know, gratitude, appreciation, and for whom. And just start, for me, I think just to have that vibration really high, I need to start that morning that way. Yeah. And start to, because it's a new habit for a lot of us. You know, we just forget, we get busy.
No, it sets the tone for the day. It really does. you know, Rhonda Byrne, who was the producer of the movie The Secret and the writer of the book The Secret, said that she does the same thing, Patty. She doesn't get out of bed until she does her gratitude exercise, until a tear is flowing down her face. Because it's really easy to go very rote. I appreciate my dog. I appreciate my cat. I appreciate my wife. I appreciate my silverware. You know, it's like, it just, it doesn't really connect emotionally. And so she would really get into that state of gratitude and be so overwhelmed by it that a tear would flow down her face. And when she wrote the book, The Secret, she said, I wouldn't even start writing until I would do the gratitude exercise. And that tear, literally, I was so grateful, so in emotional gratitude, I guess, that then the writing would come very quickly and very easily. So we're in that state of gratitude.
Yeah, makes sense.
We get more to be grateful for, including ideas. So if you ever get writer's block, or you don't know how to write, you know, what to say in your blog or whatever in your Facebook Live, it's a great exercise.
Be grateful that you have a hand.
Yeah. Great. Well, sure. Absolutely. I'm glad I have 5-10 fingers. I mean, you and I know a woman, she has one hand and she types faster than I do. And then she actually helped write a one-handed typing book for, there had never been one before. And Lily Walters, who, you know, her mother, Dottie Walters, was one of the great speaker bureaus of all time. We see this quote from Mother Teresa, there's more hunger for love and appreciation in this world than for bread. And it's really true. So remember that when your appreciation is not something that's frivolous. Next slide. So I just want you to, as you walk around, Patty talked about, you know, put a sign up that says, appreciate people, do your gratitude exercise. Begin to see everyone with a sign on their head that says, appreciate me. And then whether it's the janitor or the person that's the TSA when you're going through the airport or the woman at the checkout counter, take a moment to appreciate them. It takes all of a second or two. You remember Mike Foster, Patty. He used to appreciate the TSA. I'd always be like in this space. We started traveling together for a while. Oh, these TSA guys are slowing everything down. They're going through everyone's bags. They're going to make me late for my plane. I'm in that negative attitude. And he's there and he goes, hey, I want to thank you guys for keeping our country safe, for making sure our planes are safe and all that. And they'd give him this look and then they go, well, thank you. You know, and so we really want to appreciate people more than we do. So
I can hear him now. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you in his Southern
so,
Texas.
So the cool thing is today, I mean, we can do the rampage, but we also only have about 170 people. So if you want to break them into groups, we could also connect with other people and talk about what we appreciate. It's your call, whatever you decide.
Let's do the rampage first and then break them into small groups and then talk about what they appreciated, okay, and also how it felt. So very good. So what I want you all to do, we're going to literally have you in a moment, step away from your computer, stand up if you're in bed, on the couch, on your chair, sitting on the floor, whatever. And if you're in a car, it's maybe a little more challenging, but we do sometimes have people with interphones in their car. So what I want you to do, a rampage of appreciation, is I'm going to simply ask you to walk around the room you're in. Don't go too far, because when you hear my voice on the computer again, I want you to come back. We'll do this for about 2-2.5 minutes. Sometimes when I do a seminar, we'll have a break for maybe 15 minutes, and I'll have the first 7-8 minutes of the break have people actually doing the rampage of appreciation. People often come back with tears in their eyes and just feeling amazing. So we'll see what happens for you today. What I'm going to ask you to do in a moment is to stand up and literally walk around and look at everything you see and appreciate it. Like, I'll just give you like 30 seconds of me from sitting where I am. I appreciate the ring lights that I have that allow my face to be illuminated. I'm looking at the image of Patty. I appreciate Patty for being my business partner. I appreciate Zoom for allowing us to do this. I'm looking at the slides, appreciating the fact that we have this technology. I appreciate the people who invented my Apple computer, all the guys at Apple, Steve Jobs, who started the company. I appreciate Jocelyn for making the slides. I appreciate the people who made this microphone that allows my voice to sound a little better than it sometimes does without it. I'm looking around at the books. I appreciate all the authors who've taken a year or more out of their life to take their ideas and put them in books. I've read over 3,000 books. I'm so grateful for that. And grateful for all the essential oils that I see lined up next to my computer, next to my diffuser that I get to use. And grateful to the people who started the company that produces those. I'm grateful for my Voss water bottle, which is glass, which I'm told is what you're supposed to put water in, not plastic. I'm grateful for my cell phone that I see. Grateful for the glasses that I'm wearing, which allows me to see the screen and actually read the words on it. I'm grateful for all of you who showed up in this seminar. I'm grateful for the carpet on my floor, which makes it warmer in the room. I'm grateful for the people who installed the glass windows that allow me to look out over the palm trees on my property. And grateful for the gardeners who've, you know, clipped the dead fronds off a month ago. So you get the idea? Just gratitude, 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 gratitude. And everything you lay your eyes on, just be grateful for it. And usually we take it for granted. You know, we in the modern world take our flush toilets for granted. We take our air conditioning for granted. We take our heating system for granted. We take these computers for granted. We get mad at them sometimes when they don't work the way we want. But just the fact that we have them. I saw a meme the other day. It said, if we had to do this coronavirus lockdown 20 years ago, there wouldn't be any Zoom calls. We wouldn't be able to do this. You'd have a cell phone that wouldn't even have a pictures on it. You know, the old bricks that we used to call phones. So we're going around. Imagine if you couldn't go on Google, if you couldn't go and binge on Netflix, all the things we take for granted. So anyway, you get the idea. So I'm going
to. But also all the people too, you know, so I think so often we don't appreciate the people that are closest to us because we're just busy. And so if there's people in your home right now that are being quiet so you can be on this call, I'll appreciate mine when they come back because I said, everybody out.
You can appreciate your dog for not barking right now.
But, you know, we often forget about the people that are closest to us in our life. And I think, you know, you talk a lot, Jack, about the five love languages. And for so many, it's what Mother Teresa said, that they're starving more for appreciation than they are for hunger. And so for a lot of us, we might think, we're giving you a gift or we're doing something different, but those words of affirmation are really a big deal in that appreciation. So don't underestimate the power of that. Could create a whole new day. Who knows? We can all report tonight. Wow. My house was really happy.
Okay. So everybody either stand up or move around, whatever, and just start appreciating everything you see. And I will, in about 2.5 minutes, I will say, come back and hopefully you'll still be close enough to the computer. You'll hear that. We won't be looking at a lot of empty bedrooms. All right, go ahead and begin. I'll do it as well.
I have my earbuds in so I can walk everywhere I want.
All right, if you can hear my voice, that's been 3.5 minutes. Come on back. Come on back, everybody. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. So let's do this. Let's actually, Jocelyn, if you can, break people into groups. I think it'll be about 4 people each.
Yeah. One thing before I do that, though, is if you're not on video right now and you can be, please put yourself on video, because I know last time when we did this, there was a lot of people who had people in their rooms that had like stepped away from their computer or weren't engaging in the breakout room. So if you can just put your video on, it's very nice for everyone else to get to see your face and know that you're a real person that's there.
I'd like you to do when you get there is just take a minute each, talk about what that experience was like for you. And then if you want to share in that minute as well, anything you got in touch with that you really appreciate. I noticed for me, 2 things that I really blew me away is how many pictures I have all around my office of events and people, Patty and I running workshops in Hawaii, things that did in Moscow, a hand of ribbons, that feathers that someone gave me when I was working with the Achuar in the rainforest in Ecuador. And I just started going, what an amazing life I've had. And I really did get kind of overwhelmed with gratitude. All right, so you're going to put people in the waiting rooms and you have to accept the invitation when you get there.
All right.
And we'll tell you switch next person every minute, and then we'll bring you back in about 4.5 minutes.
There will be a couple groups of 5.
Okay.
What? Teresa, I'm going to put you in a breakout room. We're just talking about things that we are grateful for. And you should get an invitation. Let's see, Andrea, did you get? Oh, hold on. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Did you get a request? I don't have you on my screen as unassigned. Let me see where you're at. Do you guys just want to share in here since everyone, oh, and I need to tell everyone. Next person.
Yes, hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Do you guys want to share in here since It's not giving me some, I don't know. I haven't been able to find you to put you in a group. So do you want to share here?
Yeah, why not? We can do it quickly.
Yeah.
Should I start?
Go ahead.
Okay, so I love the exercise. And yes, everything that I saw has a story and usually involves people. And so it just started to remind me of moments in my life or of people that I'm grateful for sharing my life with, vacations, my kids, everyone, and also to do things. That was the only thing that, oh, right, I have to do this. So I tried to sort of get that idea out of my head and just focus on how grateful. And it's very calming, very peaceful. It's lovely. That was my experience.
That's awesome. And I don't know how to say your name. Is it Severe? Hello, let me see if I can unmute you. Hold on.
Unmute. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. It's actually, you actually say Sverrir.
Okay. Well, I was totally off.
He was just, hey, great. Sounds good. Yeah, so doing this exercise, I went actually did go into my kitchen and was walking around. And it's what I realized when I was walking in there is that there are so many things in there that you just take for granted. It's just, you just live life. And this is something that I've never even think about. I mean, my coffee machine or the microwave or the dishes and cups and glasses and all that. It's just, it's always been there throughout my whole life, but I do travel a lot because of my job. I do a lot of training and consulting and do go all over the world. And I'm actually shocked that I've never thought about this before, because you actually go into places where, like Jack was just talking about, India, where people don't have anything. They're sitting on the floor. Or so it was just kind of mind blowing that we just have all those things and we just take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
That was my kind of experience in this one. It was just, ooh, I have a coffee machine. I just make coffee every morning, but I never thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true.
It's amazing. Yep.
Ann, do you want to go? Well, let me ask. Hold on. Let me unmute you. I think you're unmuted now.
It looks like it. All right. Hello, everyone. My internet is really wonky today, so it's cutting in and out. So I apologize for that. So I am appreciative of our internet when it works.
Yes, I understand that completely. My kids are all on Zoom for school right now at the same time as me. So
yes.
Man.
So you want me to do my little rampage of appreciation?
Yeah.
All right. This is a practice that I have done frequently. I think one of our sessions we had to write our daily challenges was a letter to someone we love, and I chose to do a rampage to my life partner. So he was a little overwhelmed with that, but it was fun. I appreciate this class immensely, the diversity of the class, and just the ability, because of modern technology, to connect with people from other worlds that I would have never thought or dreamed of sitting in Southwest Wisconsin that I would connect with them. So I am appreciative of all the icky stories that I used to tell myself, and it's helped me learn to grow as a person. And I no longer look at them as a debt. I look at them simply as growth and how I can move forward and help people. So I'm going to start tearing up. So I appreciate me.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. Lots of other people got to hear your beautiful share also. Okay, I think everyone is about ready to come back in. Anyone else not get to share with anyone? Want to share really quick while people are coming back? Actually, everyone's on mute, so I can't hear you if you're telling me yes. Okay, Jack is back.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I had a nice connection.
That's awesome. We did too.
Very good. How do we know if everyone's back?
Not everyone's back quite yet.
Okay. So you know.
Yep. I will let you know.
Okay. I just, when I was going around my room, my office was where I am, there's this headband made of red and yellow bird feathers that was given to me in Ecuador by the Achuar tribe, where we literally flew in over the rainforest, landed on a dirt patch of grand land, canoed down a river for about a half a day into this village, and got to hang out with people living the most prehistoric indigenous lives. And one of them gave me this headband made out of bird feathers. Very, very, very difficult to get these feathers from the birds. Very honorific, I guess. And I said, please don't ever forget us. Remind people we're here and remind them to save the rainforest. And I thought, wow, how amazing to have had that experience and have that memory. I totally just, I don't even see it every day. It's right behind my desk, you know, on the credenza. It's good to slow down. I appreciate.
So we're all back. Yeah. How was that for everybody? How did everybody feel after doing that? I had a great group. Everybody liked it. Scale of 1-10, loved it. Great.
Yeah, if nice, you want to type into the chat there. Okay, good.
Slow down and appreciate. I love that. I love that. Fantastic. Good. I was just saying, I was sending my neighbor a note, Jack, this woman next door, they put these magnolia trees in that are so close to the house, but they're on her property. And so I just sent her a note saying, hey, I really appreciate you. She's always bringing me a new hose, doing different things. Said, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to get them out of there. And I'm not going to charge you for anything. I just appreciate that you take care of my house when I'm not here. Because I know her husband was like, what? There's going to be costs involved, you know? Uh-huh. And so I text her really quickly saying, I appreciate you. Don't worry. I'll take care of it. Because it'll be a lot less expensive than a new foundation.
All right. Everyone had a great time, but one person there said, my worst fear came true. I missed my hugest opportunity. I'm in an old computer that doesn't have a microphone or a camera. So she didn't get to be perhaps in my breakout group. Anyway, sorry about that. So I want to continue. If you can bring the slides back up, Jocelyn. Okay, go to the next slide when you're ready. And you can take off your color thing there, which is on your screen. Joss, it's showing up on my screen anyway. Anyway, this is Rhonda Byrne. We talked about her real briefly. She is someone who, as I said, wrote The Secret. She always would do the gratitude exercise every morning and would never write until she did that. If we can go to the next slide, please. And Joss, I don't know if you can see, there you go, the colors. Can you make that disappear by hitting the little red dot in the thing? Maybe not.
I can try stopping and starting again. Hold on.
You can't just go hit it.
There's nothing.
No, this is real time. I appreciate the fact that we're in real time. This is not a recording and some things happen, but it's just E plus R equals O. It's one more chance, Jack, for you to be grateful that we're all here.
I can do it with it. It's just distracting. So let's see what happens. There we go. Oh, no, it's still there.
Really?
Oh, well.
I don't know.
There we go.
Okay, good.
Yay!
So this is from the Institute of Heart Math, where they actually do amazing work with measurements of human emotion, human vibration, human energy. And they do work for something called coherence. If you look at the bottom in blue, it says appreciation. When you're in appreciation, you'll notice that the up and down waves of the sine there are very normalized and very spaced out fairly evenly. As opposed to frustration, you look up at the top in red, and what we have here is a very incoherent space where your heart and your brain are not in a state of coherence. And so whenever you go into appreciation, this is what happens inside of your brain and your heart and your body. So literally just a moment, we just did that for 3.5 minutes. And that was the experience you had. And then we talked about it, you know, each of you for about a minute. And look how quickly we were able to get ourselves into a more emotionally positive, higher vibration state. So appreciation is really powerful. We'll go to the next slide. So to get into quick coherence, to get into coherence quickly, there is this thing that they developed called the quick coherence process. And I'll just tell you what it is and by the steps, and then we're going to do a quick coherence. Well, I think we've done this once before, but it's good to repeat a few things like this so that it become more things you go to on a more regular basis. So what you do is you start by just locating your physical heart, which is in the middle of your chest. It's just a little bit to the left of center, but it's not all the way over on the left, like when we put our hand on our heart and we do things like pledge allegiance to the flag and things like that. And then the second step is that you're going to begin to breathe, and you're going to imagine that you're inhaling through your heart and exhaling through your solar plexus. So the air is coming into your heart and then going out right below your rib cage. And obviously it's coming in through your nose or your mouth, whichever you're breathing through, but with your eyes closed, you're going to imagine that there's an opening in your chest that allows the air to come straight into your heart and then go down out through your solar plexus. And you're going to breathe again for the count of six in and for the count of six out. This six count breath shows up in a lot of practices around the world for getting that connection into your lower, your subconscious mind and in your higher consciousness as well, but still subconscious. And the next step is after you do that for about a minute, I'll ask you to focus on someone or something you appreciate. So it could be something you just saw and appreciated during the Rampage of Appreciation, or it could be a person that, you know, someone that's in another state. It could be your mother, your friend, one of your children, you know, whatever. Or it could also be a place. It might be a place in nature that you really love to go to, or a spiritual retreat center that you go to. Or it could be an object, a physical object that's a living, like your dog or your cat or a horse. Or it could also be an object like your piano or your guitar or a piece of art you own or maybe one you made. And then you'll imagine as you're continuing to breathe in and out, as you focus on that, that your heart is filling with more and more appreciation as you breathe in and out. So if you'll close your eyes, I will guide you through just a very short process of this. Again, just to lock it into your memory and so that you're more likely to actually do it. So with your eyes closed, just focus on your heart. Notice where your heart is located in your chest. You might even want to put your hand there to solidify that awareness. Touch it. You don't have to keep your hand there, but you can touch it, or if you want to keep it there, you can. And as we focus on our physical heart, we also focus on our emotional heart. And begin to slow your breathing down to an inhale of six counts and an exhalation of six counts. And as you continue that slower six count breathing, imagine the air coming in straight through your chest into your heart. And as you exhale, going out just below your heart, out through your solar plexus, which is located at the bottom of your rib cage. Just keep that up for the next minute. Now, as you continue with the six count breathing, imagine the air coming in through your chest into your heart. Imagine with each breath you take, your heart starts to expand and become larger, filling with appreciation as you focus on a person, a place, or a thing that you really, really, really appreciate, that you're really, really grateful for. And one of the ways to know if you're really in a state of full appreciation is to notice if there's a smile on your face. And with your eyes still closed, just notice what you're feeling right now, feeling emotionally and also feeling physically. How does your face feel? How does your chest feel? How does your body feel? And then go ahead, whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes. Come on back into whatever space you're in at the moment. And now take a minute and just look around the room wherever you are. Notice whatever your eyes fall upon that brings you back present into the room. I was looking at Patty, the most beatific smile on your face. That was beautiful. All right, we can go to the next slide, Jocelyn. So there's a woman named Esther Hicks, lives down in Texas, and she is what's known often as a channel. And I discovered her years ago. I was interviewed on a radio show, and the people that were interviewing me were the most positive, loving, fun, high vibration people I'd ever been interviewed by. And I called them back immediately after the interview and I said, what the heck are you guys on? You're either on some drug or you're found a new religion or you're following a teacher or I don't know what it is, but you guys are amazing. And they said, oh, we've been studying Abraham. I said, what's Abraham? They mentioned this woman who had been, she was a Southern Baptist, was not into any of this stuff. And all of a sudden she started getting these downloads of really, really bright, valuable wisdom. And so I started listening to some of their CDs, of her CDs, I guess. And the way they describe it is Abraham is a group of consciousnesses that are speaking through her at this time. And she wrote a number of books called Ask and It Is Given and some other books on abundance. You can go to Esther Hicks on Amazon. You can find the books. But one of the things that she taught was the law of attraction. And she says, that which is like unto itself is drawn. And so my attention to anything begins to create in my life more of what my attention to it feels like. So when we're in a state of appreciation, we're in this high vibration. That's what it feels like. And so I will only look at what feels good. I will only listen to what feels good. And I will speak of what makes me feel good. I will focus my thoughts on thoughts that feel good when I think of them. For I am a fun-loving otter of the universe, and my purpose in life is joy. And so the idea is, when you're reading a book, you're watching a television show, you're watching the news, you're talking to somebody, you're, you know, going online to Facebook, to YouTube, whatever, is what you're looking at, thinking about, focusing on, making you feel good? And Esther says, Abraham says, nothing's more important than you feel good. And when you feel good, then you're attracting to you more of what you are wanting in life. So this is the precursor to manifestation, is appreciation and gratitude. So, and I love this loving otter of the universe. We had a bunch of otters at the Santa Barbara Museum. I don't know if you ever saw them, Patty, but they've actually gone now to the museum in Washington, not the museum, the zoo, the Santa Barbara Zoo. Otters in a museum, they're all stuffed. Anyway, they had this huge body of water. They just play all day long. They have the most fun. It was like watching a comedy slapstick movie, watching the otter. So it's the idea is to have more fun in life. All right, next slide, please. So the law of attraction says you must raise your vibration and become a vibrational match for that which you want to attract into your life. And next, please. So what are the feelings that allow us to go there? We talked about gratitude. Abundance, focusing on all the things that are abundant in your life. I have an abundance of books. People send me 5 to 10 books a week, you know, to do testimonials. Will you love my book? Thank you for inspiring me to write it, whatever. I have an abundance of money in my life. I have an abundance of friends. I have an abundance of time if I want it, option, opportunities. So, you know, focus on what you do have. Many of you don't have as much money as I might have. But I'm remembering a story by Joe Vitale, who's now one of the more successful people, who literally was reading about the law of attraction. And he was going, this is a bunch of BS. I don't have anything. And it said, you have to focus on what you have. Now, he was living in one of those rooms with the Formica table, you know, and the plastic chairs and the mattress on the floor and the light bulb coming out of the ceiling. He says, what the hell do I have to be grateful for? But for some reason, he said, I'm going to do this exercise. And he said, well, I have a pencil. And I have paper. I guess I could write down my goals. I have an eraser on the end of the pencil. I guess I could erase my limiting thoughts. And he just started to get into it. And he said that was the beginning of the time when his life changed. And now he's one of the great teachers of prosperity consciousness in the world. If we can go to the next slide, please. Or not slide, but the next thing. Joy. Anything that brings you joy, you want to make sure you're doing that as well. That's why we talked about joyful thoughts, joyful television program, listening to joyful music. Someone once said, you know, what do you get when you listen to a country song backwards? You get your job back, your wife back, your dog back, your truck back, you get out of prison, etc. What that means, and Patty knows this because she lives right outside of Nashville, so many country western songs are all about, I lost my dog, my wife left me, I got tears in my ears as I'm lying in my bed crying my heart out over you, you know. And so nothing wrong with, there's a lot of great country music. I love country music, but listen to things that uplift you. Create a positive music playlist you can play when you get up in the morning. Could be upbeat dance music. It could just be positive lyrics. In our seminars, we're always playing that kind of music. So you want to be listening to things that uplift you. Next, please. And acceptance. Every time we resist something, we go into a lower vibration. So it's hard sometimes to be thinking about accepting that there's racism in the world, accepting the sexism in the world, accepting the race, you know, the social injustices in the world, you know, people doing things you don't like. However, unless you're willing to simply say, I'm willing to do this about it, and not come from a place of anger, but come from a place of love, because you want to bring more joy, more love, more healing to other people, you're just bringing your vibration down. You're becoming part of the problem rather than the solution. I think Mother Teresa once said she was asked to go to an anti-war rally. She said, no, I don't go to anything that's anti-anything, because as soon as I'm anti-something, I just create resistance to push back. Now, if you have a pro-peace rally, I'll go to that. So a very fine distinction, but a really important one. Next slide, please. So joy is your internal guidance system. What does this mean? It means if you're not experiencing joy, you're not doing something that's taking you toward your purpose. Now, I don't mean by that when you're changing your baby's diaper that's full of, you know, liquid poop, that's going to be the most uplifting experience on your in life. But the joy of being a parent, the joy of knowing you're keeping your child healthy and safe and clean, the joy of the moments that you do have with them. So there are things we do that are, you know, we wash the dishes. You can even turn that into joy, but, you know, I won't go into that right now. But the point is, if you focus on washing the dishes as a chore, then that's like, oh, I'm doing this thing I have to do. But if you focus on, I'm sparkling up the kitchen, I am making everything germ-free in my house, you can actually have a better time doing that. But more importantly, for what we're talking about now, is that joy as your guidance system means that you are doing something. And if you're resenting it, if you hate your job, if you don't like the people you're working with, you're not going to be as successful as you want to be. And you're going to be continually creating negative emotions, which are also bad for your health and your immune system at a time when you don't want that. So, you know, a friend of mine wrote a book called Hell Yes, Hell No. And what he meant by that is, if I said to you, let's go to Disneyland, and you go, hell yes, let's go. Or if I say, could you come over to my house and help me move this weekend? You're going, oh, well, okay. That's not a hell yes. And sometimes you get like, hell no, I don't want to do that. You know, like get on a plane right now and fly to South Africa. That's a long two-day trip. I don't want to do that. That's a hell no. So literally be really aware of your emotional reaction to something. Are you sustaining things that are taking you toward your purpose? It's built into your system. So joy is a feedback mechanism in your body that tells you you're on course, you're on purpose. Ivana just types in, I'll go to South Africa. That's great. For you, that's a hell yes. For me right now, having not traveled for a while, I don't miss jet lag. I'm really enjoying it. All right. So the law of attraction, resistance lowers your vibration. Can you click next, please? Judgment, anger. If I'm judging you, I'm resisting who you are. If I'm angry at you, I'm mad that you did something, I'm resisting the fact that it happened. If I'm resenting something, it means I love the word resent. I resent it, I resend it, I resend it. It's like sending an email 75 times. Got it already? So we keep sending the same anger. And resentment can last for years. You know, you resent that person that, you know, took your girlfriend in high school. You resent your brother for something you did 3 years ago. That's lowering your vibration. You know, I think it was Nelson Mandela said, being angry at someone is like drinking poison and hoping they'll die. It just doesn't work like that. Next dot point, please. Guilt and regret. That's another thing that will lower your vibration. So you want to give up feeling guilty about anything. Look, you did the best you could at the time you did it. If you'd known better, you might have known better, but you didn't have the skills or the ability to do better. We're always doing the best we can at a time to meet some basic need we have. And so for attention, for safety, for love, for survival, whatever it was. And if you're feeling guilt, you're just resisting the fact that you did that, and you can let it go. You know, learn from it, release it, let it go. Regret's the same thing. I remember we were teaching tapping, and someone had made some really bad investments in real estate. And they were just living with regret for years about that. Instead of, hey, you did the best you could, it didn't work out, let it go, because you're not creating a new success because of focusing on the old failure. Next bullet point, fear, F-E-A-R. I love Wally Amos, who's known as Famous Amos. You've probably seen Famous Amos cookies at some point in your life. He says that fear is forgetting everything's all right. When you're in the high level of law of attraction, high level of positive thought, you know that the universe is on your side. Even when you have challenges, it's asking you to develop a new quality, like perseverance, like love, like patience, etc. And so everything that happens to you, act as if it's something that's in your favor. The universe is on your side. And so he said, when you're in fear that something's not going to work out, something bad's going to happen, you're forgetting everything's all right. I love that. Denial. When you're denying something, a lot of people, when the coronavirus hit, they just denied that anything was happening. They just started watching, you know, Netflix binging and so forth, and didn't do anything different. Didn't pivot, didn't get online, didn't develop new programs, etc. It took them a while to get out of denial. Denial will also bring your vibration down. Attack. And when we attack people, you know, we're attacking our spouses, we're attacking our children, we're attacking ourselves sometimes, you know, and also the next bullet point is violence, where we actually have physical attacks on people. And so you don't want to do that either. So there you go, violence. So all of these will lower your vibration. To go back to knowing that joy is your guidance system, Mother Teresa once asked her counselor for advice on her vocation. She said, how can I know if God is calling me for what he is calling me? And her teacher answered, you will know by your happiness. If you are happy, this will be the proof of your vocation. And she was working with lepers and all kinds of people with all kinds of dying diseases in the hospice in Calcutta, but she was always happy. Some of our best friends like Lynn Twist, who Patty knows, have been working with her went over before she died. And she said she was happy no matter what she was doing. So happiness was coming from the inside. And she knew she was on purpose when she was doing that. Next slide, please. Patty and I have a student, a friend called Christy Miller. Shared a story with you really quickly. Christy is the perfect example of trusting the universe, creating a high vibration. So she was working for a person who said, whoever has the best quarter, next quarter, I'm going to give them my car. Her boss was going to buy a new Porsche Cayenne, and she was going to give away the one she had to the person who had the best quarter. And Christy said, I'm winning that car. Next slide, please. And so she went out and she bought a toy Porsche Cayenne Turbo, and she came and she got a chalkboard and she put an affirmation on it. And everywhere she went, she took her little Porsche with her. So she got used to having a Porsche. And notice she says, I win cars like it's what I do is on there. And she's doing her affirmations overlooking the river there. And if she would go out for a drink at night, she'd bring her little Porsche Cayenne with her. If she went to the dentist, she would bring her Porsche Cayenne with her. And everywhere she went, she was just, I am also already the owner. Now, the day they were going to announce who won this, she goes and she gives away or sells her Mercedes-Benz so that she has no car. She shows up at the event where they're going to give away this car. And someone said, where's your Mercedes? She says, I don't need it. I'm driving the Cayenne home. And if you click the next thing, there's the keys to the Porsche, which she won. There she is with her car. And the next slide shows that after a year of owning that one, she went out and bought her own new one. And she is a Porsche Cayenne lover. And the point being, this works. Now, just a couple of techniques with you that I want to share with you, because what do you do when you're not in a positive vibration? You have to catch yourself. So awareness is the first thing. And I like to advise people when you're first learning to do this, set your alarm on your smartphone or your computer to maybe go off every 30 minutes, every hour. And then when it does, in addition to maybe drinking water, because we're all underhydrated, what you can do is notice what thoughts have you been thinking? Because what you want to get good at is when you think a negative thought, you use what we call the law of replacement and the countering technique. It's impossible to just get rid of a negative thought because if you don't replace it with a positive thought, the negative thought will be pulled back in by what we call the law of the vacuum. You know, if you have a vacuum, you've all opened vacuum sealed bottles and things, you hear that as the air comes sucking in. And so what happens is the vacuum will suck back in that old negative thought if you don't replace it with a positive one. That's why affirmations, repetition is so valuable. So the countering technique, if we go to the next slide, is when you say something negative to yourself, like I'm going to embarrass myself in front of all those people when you're going to give a talk, then you immediately stop and say, cancel, cancel. So you're telling your subconscious mind, don't listen to that. And then you immediately replace it with something like, I'm going to be so good that the audience will give me a standing ovation for 3 minutes. Or I'm going to be so good that someone will come out of the audience and say, we have to have you come to my company and we'd be willing to pay you $5,000 to do a half day workshop on this topic you talked about. So again, we are going to have negative thoughts come up. It's a habit we have. We have to break that habit over time. But one of the great tools is this cancel, cancel technique and the law of replacement. Now, if you're more visual, you can use a technique that we learned from Lisa Nichols, who is our expert this month. It's called the delete button technique. You imagine that in your mind, you have a delete button. And so when you think a negative thought, you can just literally press delete and see that thought disappear. And then again, replace it with a positive thought. And then finally, next slide, if you're more of a kinesthetic you know, active physical type, you can actually imagine, you know, doing a karate chop to that thought and imagining it breaking and smashing into bits, and then again replacing it with a positive thought. So any of those things will work, but it's the conscious intention and awareness. Robin Sharma, who I love, is a great teacher. You should check out his work online. He says, the price of greatness is responsibility for each of your thoughts. We are responsible for what we think. Now, as a child, we were programmed by television, by parents, by all this stuff, but now we're responsible. So positive expectancy, expecting the best to work out, is a choice, and you can choose to believe it. It's just a belief. So why not choose to believe the positive instead of the negative? Next slide, please. So decide what you want. Make sure the decision feels good. Next bullet point. Remember, we talked about hell yes or hell no. Only decide the things that are a hell yes for you. Once you've made a decision, don't second guess it. Just keep on believing that that's how it's going to work out. Next. And then release it to the universe. You don't have to know the how. Just trust that it's going to happen. If you focus on it, believe it, visualize it, affirm it, expect it. And then next, please. And then create a vibrational match. In other words, what I recommend you do is close your eyes when you're doing this. Do your affirmation for the thing you want. Visualize it as if you already have it. Feel the feeling you would feel as if you already have it, that vibrational match from the law of attraction, the law of appreciation and gratitude. So J. Paul Meyer, who was one of the greatest motivational company owners in the planet, he did more courses that he developed, said, whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, sincerely believe, and enthusiastically act upon must inevitably come to pass. And that is so true. Next slide. Napoleon Hill said, become an inverse paranoid. What does that mean? Actually believe the world is plotting to do you good. If you're going to be paranoid, be an inverse paranoid. See, a lot of people think, oh, the world's out to get me. No, the world's not out to get you. The world's out to have your back. But it will only do that if you actually believe it, and it's a choice to believe it or not. He was my mentor, and that's how I got into all this work. Next slide. Byron Katie says, whether we believe it's a friendly universe or not, if we just move forward as if it was with courage, that friendly universe will show up. Action is a way you demonstrate your belief. Next slide, please. And just remind you again, read her book, Loving What Is. Again, we're not resisting what is, we're loving what is. And when we do that and go into that space of allowing and being one with what is, all that resistance disappears, the anger disappears. She said, the only reason you're ever angry is your belief that something shouldn't be the way it is. And so the fact is, it is the way it is. Now we can work to change it, but you can't stop it from being what it is in the moment. And that's where we get into trouble. Next slide, please. I love this. How can I be happy even when something like this happens? So one of the things I want you to do when something happens, you're running through the airport and your briefcase opens up and everything falls on the floor. Instead of saying, oh shit, say, oh, what fun. Oh, what fun. It's just a way of reframing it. And then the next bullet point says, what's the opportunity that this is? Patty and I were talking about this slide yesterday. She said, well, it's the opportunity to buy a new truck, get a new car. Whatever it is.
It actually, Jack, it reminds me of the time we were in Italy. I think we were in Italy. And so our driver came to get us and he had a small car. And we travel with everything but the kitchen sink. And so Jack says, oh, well, wait. I said, no, we can make it in. We can get in. We'll just fit it all in. So we did. And we broke down like 3 minutes later on the freeway. It's like, we were just not meant to be in that car. Do you remember that?
I know. We said, what's the opportunity that this is? And what happens? We then got a big van that showed up and took us the rest of the way much more comfortably.
It was an opportunity for you to breathe.
There again, the truck's in the water. You can't stop that. You know, you're getting pissed off. It doesn't serve anything. And so basically, again, just have an attitude. This is what I get to deal with today. It's okay. And something good will come out of it. You never know. Maybe you'll meet your wife at the auto dealership when you're buying your new car. You never know what happens. It's amazing what occurs for people.
Maybe there was a big bear right up in front of you and you didn't hit it because you ended up in the ditch.
Yeah, we had a friend of ours, Rick Kurzak, who hit a bear. He was on his motorcycle and he started to pass. No, a car started to pass him. All of a sudden, this bear comes out on the road and bam, he hits the bear. And he was in didn't he have a cast on his leg for a while? I mean, it was really banged up. And, you know, had he not been speeding, had, you know, whatever, they wouldn't hit the bear. But the other thing that's really cool was he used that time to go very deep into his own personal growth, and he learned a lot about himself. You know, the pandemic now, which a lot of us are going, you know, not saying, oh, what fun, but you can say, oh, what fun. Think about it. We have more time for self-growth, more time for our family, more time for, you know, working on our bodies, more time for meditation, more time for a lot of things and learning new things that we can do. We wouldn't be together on this program if it wasn't for the coronavirus. So we're enjoying working with all of you and learning how to do it. Just a couple last points here. Dealing with disappointment. Patty and I do something we call high intention, low attachment. When you start out a project, have a high intention to achieve, but don't be attached to the outcome. I remember Patty and I were running seminars back in LA when we first started our company. And we did a guest event where people would come and experience, you know, 3 hours of the kind of thing we would do. And then we'd sign people up. And we scheduled one for the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I don't know if you remember this, Patty. What happened was we had about 6 people show up. We learned, do not run a seminar 2 days before Thanksgiving because everyone's traveling for home or getting ready or whatever. And I remember our assisting team was like really disappointed and bummed out. And I said, look, you know, we did the best we could. This is what showed up. Let's give them the best seminar possible. We gave the seminar. I think everybody signed up. And it was like, we had a great evening. So, you know, what is. So again, don't be judging it. It's not enough. And God knows, maybe one of our best trainers came out of that training. Who knows? But again, don't be attached to the outcome. Sometimes there's a better outcome. I love speaking of country music, which were Garth Brooks' song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. Talks about going back to his high school reunion. The girl he had a crush on who never would look at him. And now she was overweight and she was an alcoholic and she was disgustingly drunk. And he said, thank God for unanswered prayers, you know. So sometimes the universe has something better for you in store, or sometimes the timing isn't right. You know, sometimes it'll take you longer. You just out of your ego attach, this is going to happen by December 1st. And it may not happen until January 15th. And there might be a really good reason for that. You know, you're better prepared for it. There's more opportunity that shows up with it, etc. Next slide. Just remind you, nothing's important as that you feel good. Vibrational match, keep working on that. Bring it up. Next slide. This very powerful little concept here. I don't know if any of you have ever used these noise reduction headphones, like the Bose headphones, I think were the first ones, now everyone's making them. But how they work is you have a sound wave. If you look at the top, the top curve where it says Y, basically that's the sound that's coming into your headphones. The technology of your headphones then creates the opposite wave, which you see on the bottom, and that when that happens, those two sound waves collapse on each other and creates more silence. Now, the same thing happens when you have a desire, when you have an intention, a goal. That's your upper sound wave there. You're putting out this vibration into the universe and into your subconscious mind. But if you have a doubt that comes up, a belief that it's not possible, that you're not prepared enough, you know, God doesn't love you, whatever the heck you might be thinking, what happens is it creates the opposite wave that collapses the desire wave, and you end up with no result. So it works the same way as your noise reduction headphones work. So basically what you want to do is eliminate doubt and act as if you're certain that it will happen. This is where this idea of act as if becomes so important. To think as if, to act as if. This is science, folks. Quantum physics will prove this. Okay, next slide. Reality is not creating your thoughts and feelings. Your thoughts and feelings are creating your reality. Okay. So we have a choice, Patty. I'm going to bring it back to you here. You know, we got about 10 minutes more before we open it up for questions and answers. We could do the echo meditation, or we could do anything else that you think is valuable. What do you recommend?
Well, I think there's been a lot of people, Jack, that have asked about, you know, how to stay in the right vibration. So I'd like to know from anyone, if you are struggling, you know, some people are saying like, I can't, as much as I want to forgive my brother, I can't, or because we know that being in that negative vibration is literally canceling out, kind of like the slide is showing you right here. We want to try to help a few people if we can. So if you are really kind of struck and you're willing to get some coaching right now, just say it's me or something in the chat and we could call on someone. Because I do think it's one thing to say it and to know it, but then to get it done is a whole different thing. Jocelyn, do you want to call? Is that okay with you? Can we process somebody?
Sure.
Okay, everyone's like, me. I guess we're onto something. Okay. I'm glad, though, we've created a safe enough space for people to do so. Jocelyn, is there someone that you're seeing?
Let's just call on Eric. He was the first one.
All right. Eric, there? I hear Eric's dog.
Nope, that's mine.
Your dog.
He's always there. But I mean, I need to unmute Eric.
Okay.
All right, Eric, are you here?
Eric is Alexis. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
All righty. So I have a lot of doubt that I'm trying to work through as I am building my coaching business. I have a lack mindset and a scarcity mindset that has, up until now, has been programmed from a very early age. So I'm working to work through that.
So when you say that you're trying to, trying is not really, it's trying. So
right.
What are you doing right now with that awareness?
I've started working with a business coach, albeit less frequency than I would like to, which is affording. I just can't afford to work with her as much as I would like to. I am slowly building my website, but it's very overwhelming. It's hard to do this as a one-woman show in the 21st century, where it's expected, a lot is expected, and when I'm also working a full-time job on the side. So
okay. So let me just stop you there. So just for everybody, this is, I hear this every single day, especially when people are changing jobs and they're going into something different. It's not like you're filling out a resume and you're sending it out. Although you could be, think of this as I'm sending out my coaching resume to the universe. I'm sending it out to everybody I know that, hey, I'm a coach. Start telling people what you're doing. Start asking people for support. Find someone, start to create an affirmation that perfect person that will go the extra mile for me is going to show up in my life if I'm just in my body and I'm present enough to notice, okay? Because basically what we're doing is we're literally forecasting the future with a negative emotion. And so you're just making this crap up. I mean, honestly, like you have absolutely no proof that there's any reason to be afraid, right? And totally. So let's make up like what's possible. And so I would say find that one person that can support you, whether it's an accountability partner, whether it's getting into a mastermind group, I don't care what it is, but someone that will constantly hold you accountable. You know, if I wanted to go down the negative road of all the things that didn't work out well with chicken soup and, oh, you know, I used to, Mark Victor Hansen would drive me nuts sometimes, but you know what he did? He gave me the gift of thinking massively huge. And so, you know, come on, fake it to make it, kid, visualize and realize, and you got to believe it, see it. I mean, he was like a cheerleading squad like no other. And then there was Jack, who was like the really, really grounded, everything's perfect. And then there was me going, come on, Jack, you can do this. You can do this. Sometimes I didn't even know if we could do it, but I had to keep my poker face on in order for him. I believed in him more than he believed in himself on some occasions. And so we all need that. And to think that we don't is crazy. And to not ask for help is insane. I'm working on a big launch for Permission Granted right now. Jocelyn is, you know, feverishly doing the landing pages. If I had to do that, I would sit there I wouldn't do it. I literally would stop me dead in my tracks. It's not what I know how to do. And so you don't have to be an A student and everything. You have to enroll people. One of the things that Jack is a master at is enrolling people in his vision. So for you, I want you to get really clear about what it's going to look like start to feel the feelings, start to bring in that vibration of what it can be like, start to share it with enthusiasm, because when you're enthusiastic, other people will be too. And then that's contagious. But if we're like, oh, I gotta do this thing. So you, what you are gonna need to do is to practice being that extrovert, even if it's only situational, even if it takes everything you're being. And I always tell people, do the scary stuff first thing in the morning. Make those scary calls, ask for that scary help, whatever it is. And it'll be uncomfortable, but you would be amazed at the people that show up. I met Jocelyn at a Breakthrough Success. Then she came and she was going through my author program. She's like, you know what? I don't want to go to this author program. I want to be part of a team that gets to support you. I'm like, huh, who knew? But I also knew that I needed something like that in my life. And I was visualizing what it looked like, what the skill set was, all the different things that they could do. And so I could see it. All right. And so that's where I want you to stay. And so when you recognize that feeling or you're having that thought, it's like, text me, send me a note. You know, we're here. It's like, no, okay, it's all right. But just like Jack always teaches, on course, off course, you know, we're going to all go off course in our head. Doesn't matter. It's okay. It's like, oh, there I go again. I mean, you know, it happens to all of us, every single one of us on this call. It's just allowing yourself to not stay there for too long that it completely derails you. Because if you really believe in this whole last hour and 27 minutes that like attracts like, you know, like Oprah says, like, I can only be in fear for 17 seconds because anything longer than that could be devastating. And so we have to scare ourselves straight. All right. So it really starts there. And so let's just ditch all those stories of all the old stuff. Doesn't matter, because it's not where you're going anyway. That's not your future. You're in a whole new realm here. And so start to put out there what it is you need. Start to ask people. There might be a kid next door who's at home that's not going to college that knows everything that you need to know, that can get on Wix and have a website done for you in a day. When I met Jocelyn, I'd been waiting for my website for a year and a half from someone qualified. And she came and she's like, enough already. And literally at the end of the day, I had a website.
Awesome.
All right. So
let me just add a couple of things too. Number one, I just want to underline what Patty said. You can get younger people. Sometimes I heard a comedian the other day said, I got an iPhone. I didn't know what to do with it, but I have a son. He was 6 years old. He told me what to do with it. You know, so there are people that are 16, 17, 18 in college, whatever, who know how to do what you do, what you need done rather. And you can invite them to participate, to make a difference, to contribute to the world, to get a line on their resume that they intern somewhere. You can trade with them. Find someone who needs coaching, who can do what you need to do, and offer them coaching in exchange for what they do for you. Secondly, I want you to visualize every day having the perfect assistant, having the person, IT person, having your website complete, having a full coaching practice. Because what you're doing now, you're taking your mental process and you're thinking about how hard it is, how difficult it is, the story you have that I don't have enough, I don't have enough money to hire a coach, that, you know, full time, etc. So imagine having all that. And visualize, have some affirmations. I have everything I need to do everything I want. Because you're telling yourself now, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough. And that makes sense, but you're allowing your current reality to predict your future. And you never want that to happen, because you'll just end up with the same future being that, you know, that you have now. So you have to intervene with that and spend the disciplined time, a few minutes every morning, a few minutes every night doing that. And catch yourself when you're thinking those negative thoughts, do cancel, replace them with the positive. The other thing is, a technique I learned years ago was called a purchase order to God. So what you do is you write the perfect description of the person you would like in each of those positions, you know, maybe a personal assistant, maybe an IT person that can do your websites and all that kind of stuff. And then how old would they be? Where would they live? How many hours would they have available? What would their personality be like? And then you can have an outbox to God or to the universe, however you want to hold that if you're not really religious. And then what happens is every day you read that, then you put it back in the outbox. So it's like a purchase order. If you were working in a company, you put in purchase order to buy a new snowblower. And then you said, I'm a one woman show. So get rid of that. You know, like, you know, I have all the staff I need. Really get rid of that. And then have an affirmation like, I deserve support. You deserve the support. What stops a lot of women, especially men too, but a lot of women from asking for what they want is they don't believe they deserve it. And it's subconscious. You don't even know you have it, but you get scared to ask. And remember, ask is you might get 20 no's before you get a yes. It's okay. It's not personal. And then finally, I would teach you a technique I learned from a coach friend of mine. Call up 10 people who've helped you in your life, 10 people that you're grateful for the contribution they made to you, and say, I just started a new business. I'm a coach. Because you've contributed to my life, I would like to offer you a free coaching call. And invariably, 9 out of 10 people will say, sure, I'll take that. And about half of those people, when it's over, you say something like, did you find that valuable? And they go, yes. You say, would you like to do that again? Yes. Would you like to become a client? Because you're a friend of mine or you've contributed, I'll give you a special rate, you know, maybe 20% off your normal fee. People need to test drive. Most people don't know what a coach is. They've never had one. They don't know how it works. You're giving them the experience. Everyone test drive a car before they buy it. So that's a good way to introduce it to people without saying, I need something from you. You're saying, I'm offering something to you. And then they experience and they go, hey, I like this brand of lemon meringue pie. I want another piece. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
I want to hit one more thing that Jack said again. I want you to put a big sign on your bathroom, on your bed. Okay. Promise me that you'll do the same that says, I am worth it. I am worth it. And then also I want you to think about the person that comes into your life that is going to learn so much from you. All right. So if Jack had never said, I don't need a secretary, I would not have the life I have. I would probably be smoking cigarettes with big hair and long red nails, chewing Wrigley's gum, working in a car dealership. Not that that's bad for someone, but it wasn't my life path. And so by him placing that simple ad, it completely changed my life. And so for me, what I like to think about is, how am I going to serve others? Because when I make it about me, it always turns into a shit show. So it's like, if I can make it about, what am I doing for others? What service am I giving? What life could I possibly be saving? What kind of difference am I going to make if I just have the guts to say I'm doing this? And Jocelyn and I were in a bookstore a few months ago, and this guy walked up to me and said, it's because of your book I didn't kill myself. You know, that stuff really happens. And the more that you start to coach and the less you stop studying and start doing, the more the universe is going to be like, look, you were so on your path. Look what just happened. You're going to see the results. You know, you're going to see what it looks like. That's why I love so much that Jack got out yesterday so he could see these 11 people and what it was like when he walked in that room and interviewed them. It made their year. And that's what's going to happen for you. And so I'm so glad you're here, and I'm glad you were brave enough to ask for help, because this is exactly what we're here to do.
Thank you, Patty.
Can I add one more thing? Just from a perspective of somebody that was kind of in that same boat like 3 or 4 years ago, whenever it was.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times we find people who buy into our excuses. So find someone that will not buy into your excuses. So I had a coach when I was starting this, and I was so overwhelmed because I was still working as a hairstylist full time. I have 3 kids. I coach volleyball. Like, the list goes on and on and on of things that I had on my plate. And I came to him one day and I hadn't completed any of the things that I said I was going to complete. And I had all my list of reasons why. And he said, that's all understandable, but it's totally not acceptable. And if you do it again, we're done. And it totally woke me up to, like, I'm the one that said that I wanted to do all of this. I'm the one that wants this. Why am I making all of these excuses? And most people in my life are like, oh yeah, that's, you know, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it all. But he was the one person that always challenged me to say, no, you said you wanted this. So now you go after it. You get it. You figure out how to build the website. You do that. And I'm glad that he did that, because then his wife left him at home with his kids for a week, and he came back and he goes, I'm so sorry about everything that I ever said to you about making it a priority. So, I think sometimes we have to find that person, like, that will just never take our excuses and run with them, because so many people in our lives want to do that, because a lot of times it makes ourselves feel better if we can go, oh yeah, you didn't do your thing. Well, I didn't do mine either. So. Anyways.
Yeah. And it's easier just to go into that place of, oh, well, I don't care. But you know, if you'll find that right person. I'm visualizing for you. I'm a really good manifester. You can ask Jack. I actually manifested a client canceling on him. So he had to go to the NFL and teach with me because I was too afraid to go alone. That's awesome. Literally in 24 hours, he said, I have a gig. I said, no, it's canceling. And he called me. He's like, they canceled. I said, of course they did. So again, like this whole last hour and a half for all of us, think of it as a game. You know, we're having fun. And transformation is a journey. It is not a destination. And so just like, I mean, I remember the time when that car conked out on the freeway in Italy after 14 hours on a plane or whatever, I thought, oh my gosh. And I just kind of had to look at Jack. Like I said, okay, breathe. Because I know at one point he's like, for a second he was thinking, God darn it, I knew we should have taken a different car, but I convinced him we shouldn't. So it was just an opportunity for us to laugh at each other, to be like, yeah, we could go crazy, get really judgmental. You said, she said, whatever. But we didn't. We went, okay, opportunity. And so how often we miss that part. And as you grow and as you step into coaching or training or speaking or whatever it is that you're uncomfortable doing, I promise you, you will have so many funny memories at the end of the day because we have done some crazy dumb things. But now it's kind of fun. Like if we've been perfect the whole way, we've been really boring. And so embrace your differences, embrace who you are, and find someone that loves you for that and wants to support you really. Because I want you to be you too. That's part of a really good coach, is you're very authentic and transparent and vulnerable. And so it's important to not lose yourself when you're trying to make a deal with someone else to do something. All right, good.
I love what Nadia wrote. I'm planning on coaching homeless people to begin with. I love doing this anyway. I cannot charge them, but then I can later be used in my marketing. I help 10 homeless people get themselves sorted out. What can I do for you? Get in touch and find out. I love it. I have a friend in Washington, D.C. who actually goes out on the streets, finds homeless people who are alcoholics and works with them, doing very powerful work. It gets them over their addiction off the street. And he does before and after interviews with them. So he interviews them before and he captures on his cell phone. And then when he's got them back on their feet and successful, he interviews them again. And you see these people and you go, oh my God, some of the best promotional videos you could ever imagine. Wow, if he can help them, can certainly help me. So, and also you can get testimonials, all kinds of things from people.
And things come full circle. It's funny, Anjali is on here, Anjali Fitch, and she's part of one of our mastermind groups. And she said, I've always wanted to teach this stuff. She said, I just realized the most fun I ever had. And she dialed back, Jack, she was teaching the goals program. We were talking about her cat. And the happiest day of her life was when she got the cat. And it was when she actually had taught goals that day. One of our programs that we teach to homeless and people in prison and on welfare and different things. So thinking that you're doing it for one reason, it coming full circle to be for another. So it all adds up. But the biggest thing is to take the action and open your mouth and say you're doing it and go teach it. Even if you're talking to the three cats down the street, I don't care. The difference, we are Train the Trainer live right now. We're virtual, right? And they said, oh my gosh, just by standing up and reading the script out loud was a game changer. So even if that means that you have to create a script that says, this is what I'm doing, this is what I need, just so you can repeat it over and over again so you get it right, write it out. Whatever works, but let it out, okay? I can't say that enough because I know for so long I tried to think that I'll just wait and it'll all show up for me and I'll have this whole thing, and it's just not the way it works. So take action. You have a good group of people to help support you on that. And I think even Mark Cain said, he would post it in Facebook for you. So see, already people are wanting to market you.
That's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, how do I get, I'm on my phone right now and I'm trying to respond to the private messages on my phone. I want to get in touch with the people who messaged me and I don't know how to. I'm having a little difficulty on the phone.
Why don't you tell people what your email address is and those people can drop you an email.
Absolutely. Great idea, Jack. Thank you. So my name is Alexis and my email address is lexidlexidee@gmail.com. lexidlexidee@gmail.com.
Okay. We type that in.
Thank you.
I'm going to send you all the chat right now while I have you on here.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
So I think we should take a couple of the questions that were sent in prior to the call so we get those.
Then we have a little 2-minute video at the end we want to share with people.
Oh yeah,
stick around for that. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so Andy Atwood, who I saw on here, asked, as we're progressing, I've noticed that I'm trying to establish new habits quite a lot of them. And just when I think I've got a wheel fixed on my car, it seems like something else falls off. When I put attention back to putting back what's coming off, something else seems to come off. Starting to feel like a lot of effort required to keep everything spinning rather than effortless when I began. Can you offer any wisdom and advice on keeping it all together? It seems my energy has drifted to trying to fix new habits than the journey forward. So am I doing too much?
Well, can we, Andy, give us a couple examples of the things that are falling off for a start. You could do that.
If you're here.
Andy, I see you. I see you.
I think I just unmuted him.
Yep.
Yeah. So keeping up with the mirror exercise, we're trying to do those new things that form the habits that just seem to kind of go one side and then fall off.
So, I mean, for a start, what Jack and I do lots of times is we create these things called strategy circles. And what we do is when we set a goal, we write a list of every single obstacle that's going to get in the way, just kind of foreshadowing what could happen. And then we take each one of those obstacles and we look at how could that obstacle be an opportunity? And we look at how will we respond when that obstacle shows up? So-and-so calls and they derail you because they guilt you, you know, it's your sister who's guilting you into coming here, but you know, you really have to go to this. How do you say no gracefully? So how do you start to get ready for some of those things? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Because the reality, Andy, is that life happens. And so lots of times these things show up to say, are you sure you want to do that? Are you really serious? And so I try to look at everything as like, oh, this is an interesting test. So I could kind of cop out and go down the rabbit hole and I can enroll people really quickly into why it's not going to work. Or I can be like, wait a second, this is just going to be one more great story when I'm on the platform talking about overcoming an obstacle or persistence pays off. Or believe it's possible, or focus on what you want, not what you don't want. So there's all these different things, as we've been saying throughout this whole hour and a half, that are really, they're opportunities for you to really reframe your thoughts. And so often we just have these knee-jerk reactions. And so with this awareness of choice that you have for every single thing that happens, you can look at, how do I intentionally want to respond to this? Because one way could go south and the other way could go really well. And so it's like this constant little battle in the beginning, but it can be kind of fun too. And you'll feel really good about yourself and proud of yourself at the end of the day with the way you start to begin to handle things in a new and different way. And Jack, you probably have 100 more things to add to that.
No, but I would say this, that whenever you start something new, it's going to bring up stuff that's been below the surface, or it's going to test you. I always say the universe tests your commitment. You know, when we did Chicken Soup for the Soul, we were turned down by 144 publishers. I thought we'd, you know, talk to 8 or 9 publishers and we get a yes. But what it taught us was perseverance. It taught us a very valuable lesson called a question, which we learned to ask, which was, what would have to happen for you to say yes? So one day out of my mouth, for no reason, that question came. And I looked at this publisher and I said, well, what would have to happen for you to say yes to publish our book? And he said, we'd have to know we could sell 20,000 copies. And so we went out and basically got 20,000 people to commit to buy a copy. You know, every time we did a talk, we put a sheet on every chair and said, you know, I promised to buy X number of copies of books. One guy agreed to buy 1,000, which he eventually did for all of his coaching clients. He had a huge coaching practice. And so I now know that's part of my what I want to call it, the quivers in my you know, the arrows I have to shoot that I didn't have before. So I learned something very valuable from all of those rejections. It also gave me a great story to tell, like to you right now. But the idea, I always tell people, if success was easy, we'd all be thin, happy, and rich. And success challenges us to commit to go deeper, to handle the challenges that come up. And I tell people, whenever you set a new goal that's big, you can imagine all these little things in between. Here's the here and now, here's the goal. And all these little things come popping up. Fears, thoughts, bills I didn't plan to pay, like the car breaks down, like you're saying, or you get an electric bill, your tax bill or whatever. It's like, oh my God, now I got to deal with this. But literally each one of those is a gift at some level, as much as it may not feel like it at the time. I remember when I wrote my first check for $1 million to the for the tax board, you know, because I made $6 million that year and I'm writing a check for $1 million going, I hate writing a check for $1 million to the government. This sucks, you know? And then I am so lucky to be able to write a check for $1 million to the government. This is a gift. I'm one of the few people that gets to do that. I also learned how to do better tax planning, so I didn't have to do that in the future. But the point is, all of those things are part of the process. And so what we often do is we don't set new goals, especially if you're setting goals in areas of your life, anywhere you haven't set them before, where we're doing certain thing like work, it's really easy because we've kind of mastered that. But now we're looking at relationships or health and fitness or free time or whatever. And that's going to have more obstacles because we haven't spent a lot of time in that arena of our life with develop the same level of proficiency and excellence and effectiveness. So it's just part of the process. So yeah. I wouldn't let it stop you. Just know it's normal. Attend to it. Move on. Sometimes you do have to prioritize. You know, there are times when I've had to make a decision that, like yesterday, I did 11 interviews in LA, drove home, planned a seminar I'm doing this afternoon after this, planned some stuff on this seminar, looked at the slides, made sure they were all correct. Then I planned another seminar I have to do at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Then I went to bed at midnight. So my self-care on the level of physical exercise wasn't great yesterday, but it will be great tomorrow. And so the reality is that sometimes we have to make those decisions one way or the other, and it's okay, you know? So give yourself some slack, and I hope that was helpful.
That was, thank you.
Okay, good.
Hang in there.
And then our final question that we'll take today is from Laura Wade, and she is a Soul to Goal coach and certified passion test facilitator and would like to expand her speaking engagements nationally and internationally. What are your recommendations?
Is she here?
I think so.
Laura?
Yes, hold on. Okay.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. So what are you currently doing?
I currently do a lot of local engagements, but not much national or international. And so I'd like to expand my speaking.
So when you're speaking, do you ever ask the people that you're speaking to, do you know anybody in another country, or do you know anybody across America, or do you know anybody at all that you would want to recommend me to?
I have not been asking that question.
Write it down, because now you're going to start out.
Okay.
I like the fact that you're doing this, but here's a cool thing. Like, it used to be, oh my gosh, I don't know anybody in that country. But the reality is there's probably 50 countries on in this group alone, in this Facebook group. And so if you let people know exactly what it is that you do, you start to do little videos, give little tips, you know, teach a Monday minute, a Tuesday tip, a wise Wednesday, you know, whatever it is, but start to create some content that you're getting out there and delivering to people. So people can see who you are. And then at the bottom, it's like, who do you know? Could you recommend, you know, and make a list of all the places that you'd like to speak. Where do you want to go? You know, one of the things that we did when we had a home in Hawaii was we were always teaching our groups there. And then we sold our house. And so we went to our girls and said, okay, where do you guys want to, where would you like to go? And they said, well, we've never been to Italy. So we said, put it on the map. Where else would you like to go? Well, we'd love to go to Bali. Put it on the map. And I was like, well, let's go to Dubai. I'd never been to Dubai. So we went to Italy, Bali, Dubai, all over the Middle East, an amazing trip. I mean, all kinds of things, but we had to make it up and then share it with people. And so it really, if we hurry up and wait for something to come to us, we're going to be waiting for a very long time. So let people know what it looks like. I mean, Pooja is on this call and she's in India and she's brought over several people to come and speak over there. And so it really is, like, we just have to let the cat out of the bag. You know, so many of us are day jobbers by day and transformation by night, and we need to bring those things together and integrate the two and let everybody know. And I think so often we're afraid that if we ask for something that we'll look needy, but the truth is that's not true at all. If we don't ask for something, I mean, that's how people sell everything that they sell. They let you know it's available. They tell you how much it costs. They give you all these great reasons why you should have it, whether it's a car or food. In fact, our challenge today is don't buy anything new, but we'll talk about that later. Only on Amazon. There's too many boxes in my garage. But the reality is you have to do the rule of five, which is what's in the success principles. And you have to every day, at least 5 days a week, five things to get you out to different countries. So first, just make that list, Laura, of where you want to speak and who you would love to speak to. and get really, really crystal clear on that, all right? Because clarity is going to attract it back to you, and that's what you want to do. That's a law vibration, right?
Right.
So I would start there and just notice and make, like Jack was saying earlier, pick up that call, make that phone call, ask for what it is. Ask for, I mean, we should all be asking for referrals. If you haven't heard of BNI, they do like $9 billion a year in referrals. And they especially have the highest referral rates during times like COVID, recessions. So they depend on each other to refer each other, which is really the quickest way to a yes, because it's a warm lead. So start there. Don't start with, I've got to buy Facebook ads, or I've got to go do something difficult. Like, really start with the grassroots. Like, what can you do right now that isn't going to cost you anything other than some guts?
Right. The other thing too is there are people from 47 countries on this call, or at least in this course. They may not all be on at the very moment, because some watch it, you know, later. But the point is, what you could do is you could offer, well, I don't know what you speak about, but you could offer to the people that are in other countries to do a free online webinar for any of the people that are their students or that they would invite. And then basically you would capture their email somehow by giving them a free download. Like, you know, I've got 5 tips for this or 3 ways to do that. People literally respond to things that have numbers to them, you know, 7 secrets of success, 5 ways to interact with your teenage daughter in a way that will, you know, actually work, whatever it might be. So then what happens is you're now building up people in those countries. So I just, in the last several months, I've talked to 5 different groups in India, each group about 300-400 people. So if I'm, when I go to India next time, there's a market for me. There's people that know I exist and they want to see me live. So by giving away something, you're building up a following in those countries. And then you can say, hey, I'm an international consultant. I just did a gig for a group in Denmark. And in this time of COVID, you're not going to fly to most of these countries and do anything right now anyway. So it's a great time to build that up. The other thing I would suggest, you look like you're in a dark room. If you're going to be doing Zoom calls around the world, get yourself one of those ring lights. They're about $100 on Amazon. Just go in and type in ring light. And, you know, I've got 2 of them, one on each side. Patty's got one on her. Jocelyn has it. That's why we are lit up a little better. So, you know,
also,
just.
I put the link for the ones that we have on in the Facebook group. For
oh, good. It's in my Amazon cart.
You might want to. Just the other day, Laura, I was thinking, I wonder how long these lights last. And the next morning, Jack and I had a 2-day workshop with authors. I'm like, huh, I guess this is how long they last. I turned it off that night. I went to turn on the next day, didn't work. But I had these like studio lights upstairs. Thank God. So I went up and got them, or I would have looked like dark set eyes. So, you know, it's like
there you go.
Anyway, but thank you for asking that. I love the passion test. I love your title. I think it's great. I think a lot of people could really use it. And again, think of all the lives that are going to change when you let people know that you're available. Okay.
Yes.
And keep going back
thank
to
you.
That.
Thank you so much. That was, I want to thank Lexi too, because her asking that question, a lot of the things that you both responded and Jocelyn shared after that helped me as well. I was taking lots of notes on that. So thank you.
Jocelyn, before we go to this, would you go to slide 64 really quickly? Slide 64. Is that, it's the one that says.
Practical ways to raise your vibration.
No, I want the one that's, it's for the, the next slide. Next slide. Or I guess you're gonna go back to, there you go.
Awesome.
The one with the website on it. There you go.
Yeah.
So one of the things we didn't do today, which we had thought about, but we didn't have time for, but I want y'all to do this. There's a guy named Dawson Church, a good friend of Patty and mine, he's a member of the Transformational Leadership Council. He has something called an Echo Meditation. You can download the free MP3. It'll guide you through it. He gives you all the instructions, and all you have to do is close your eyes and go along. But it combines EFT tapping with a meditation technique very similar to the quick coherence process. It is one of the most profound meditations you can do. I told my sister about it, who can often be fairly depressed, and she said it got her through COVID-19, you know, the whole lockdown, and she said she does it every single day, and it's about a 20-minute meditation. It's free. You just put in your name and your email, and you can instantly download it, so I strongly encourage you to do that. It's just eftuniverse.com/meditation, or just go to EFT Universe and then go up to where it says meditations. You can see it up on the right in the green and click on that, And quite often it'll come up anyway as a pop-up, but that's what, I just want you to have that as a resource. It is so powerful. And then if you go to number 71 real quick, which is just 25 things I love to do. You can just hit 71.
It's enter. 70.
Is it 70? Keep going. There it is, 71. So one of the things I want you all to do is to make a list of 25 things you love to do. I love to pet my cat. I love to listen to Bob Dylan records. I love to go hiking in the mountain. I love to play golf. I love to dance with my wife. I love to make dinner. I love to play the guitar. Whatever it is, 25 things you love to do. And then what I want you to do is make sure you do one of them every single day. I learned this when I was in graduate school about 50 years ago. Our professor called it your anti-depression list. But really, it's the same thing. Anything you're doing when you love to do it, it raises your vibration. And this is one of the things you can make a daily thing, just like your meditation. It doesn't have to be long. You know, I play my guitar for about 12 minutes, attempting to learn a new song. And that's all I really have time for right now, or it's all I choose for. But that 10 or 12 minutes really gets me high. My wife loves to pet our dog. She likes to go hiking with her friend Lori on the beach. I love to play words with friends. I love to, you know, go online and go to Rolling Stone magazine and play whatever song they said is the coolest new song, because there's always one to listen to. Okay, so now we go to the next slide, and we're going to show you something very quickly here. So this is a guy that, one more back. This is a guy named NQ. Patty, you want to just mention how much he influenced you when you saw him? Unmute yourself.
I have to unmute myself. I'm going to learn that someday. He's an amazing poet, and he started off by saying, I was working for a living, but it wasn't working, and I wasn't living. And then he just talked a lot about loving what you do and all about vibration, and said, you'll always find the evidence for what you choose to believe. So if you choose to believe that you're not good enough, you'll find evidence for that. And if you choose to believe that you are, you'll find evidence for that. So it was really cool. So he's like this hip hop rap award-winning poet, been on Oprah, been on Super Soul Sunday a million times, just an all around very cool guy. I highly recommend that you listen to some of his podcasts and the different things that he does. And that we have a great little message for you at the end of this.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and play it. Not hearing the volume.
Loving through your anger, keep loving through your tears, keep loving through your failure, keep loving through success, keep loving through anxiety, keep loving through your stress, keep loving through rejection, keep loving through mistrust, keep loving through your jealousy, keep loving through your lust, keep loving through your shallow, keep loving through your depth. Keep loving until loving is the only thing that's left. Keep loving through the violence. Keep loving through the hate. Keep loving through the silence. Keep loving through debate. Keep loving through confusion. Keep loving through regret. Keep loving through the madness. Keep loving through the mess. Keep loving through forgiveness. Keep loving through the threats. Keep loving through indifference. Keep loving through distress. Keep loving through the changes. Keep loving through the death. Keep loving until loving is the only thing that's left. Keep loving through your shadow. Keep loving through your life. Keep loving through your mornings. Keep loving through your nights. Keep loving through your losses. Keep loving through your wins. Keep loving through beginnings. Keep loving through the ends. Keep loving through your yeses. Keep loving through your no's. Keep loving through your blessings. Keep loving through your growth. Keep loving through your movement. Keep loving through your breath. Keep loving until loving is the only thing that's left.
All right. So just again, loving is one of the highest vibrations you can do. Choose to love, choose to appreciate, choose to do the things that make you feel good, that keep you high, that keep you joyful. And if you do that, you're going to keep your vibration high as you focus on your goals, your visions, your affirmations, and keep doing the daily challenges and do your rule of five. And if you do that, I promise you, you're going to be manifesting the things that you want in your life. So thank you for joining us today. Any final words, Patty?
No, I think if anything, it's just, you know, you always say choose love, not fear, and choose to love yourself first. You know, it's something that we forget to do so often. So take care of you and stay engaged and ask for help when you need it. We're here. That's what this group is all about. This is the best group we've ever had. So I just want to let you all know we all love you and we want to support you and watch you grow. So have a great afternoon. I look forward to seeing you in the group. And I'll see you next week on office hours as well. And look forward to seeing you with being able to ask Lisa Nichols questions, who's one of my best friends and amazing women. You'll love her. So thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
All right, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Joss. Bye, everyone.